It's the Blake Tech Show, show number 380. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message, and I have 6 voicemail messages for tonight's show. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. We have the wiki, mtswiki.com, where you can get links to all of the archive shows. And follow me on Twitter and Facebook, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show and facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. I have a jam-packed show. I have the 6 voicemails that I talked about. I have consulting stories that I want to get to. And I also have the stack of email that I want to get to. First, a congratulations to the Tech Podcast Network for being available on Samsung smart TVs. The Tech Podcast family of shows that I belong to is available, and there's an app that allows all the Samsung TV owners with the smart TV to be able to listen to the podcast and listen to shows. I know also the video shows. I mean, that's great, and that's something that I, you know, someday we may transition to video, and I'm doing it on Ustream, but right now that's not happening, and you know, maybe sometime down the road it will. That's a really great coup, and the Raw Voice team that's run by Todd Cochran does a tremendous job. Kudos and congratulations. And it's, you know, I'm very, as I say at the beginning and end of every show, I am a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and that's one of the reasons. GoToMeeting is the best service to hold and host online meetings. And it's because of the rich tool set that I've often talked about. It's easy for you to highlight what you want to talk about. You can hand off presentations real easy. I use it all the time when I want to give a presentation, and I don't want to go through that expense of gas and tolls and parking to travel to a meeting when I can host it and have everybody connect. And it's no matter what device, it supports voice over IP, and you can try it free for 30 days. But you have to go to gotomeeting.com and click on the 30-day trial button and just use the promo code podcast, and you will be able to play with the GoToMeeting service for 30 days. So that's gotomeeting.com. Click on the try it free for 30 days and enter the code podcast. I want to talk about some consulting stories. The first one, I wanted to burn an ISO image, and I wanted to use CD Burner XP. I know you have the program built within Windows 7, but there was also another file that I wanted to burn, a second little project, and CD Burner XP would just crash and would not load. So this was happening all last week, and it was just giving me fits. And then I noticed something else. My ATI Catalyst driver, I mean, the video works great on my system, but when I would reboot the Catalyst program, the manager for the ATI card also crashed. So a couple things were crashing on my system, and it's been a long time since I've done updates. I know that's bad, but I was doing a little reading, and both of those apps rely on .NET framework. And there's a lot of .NET framework updates that I have not applied. So I carefully selected all the updates that I wanted to run, and I had to deselect some because there were some dependencies and some things that I didn't want to update. But after a couple reboots and a whole bunch, I think like 50 different updates to Windows 7, and this is post Service Pack 1, everything worked out great. And CD Burner XP now works, doesn't crash. My Catalyst program for the ATI card does not crash, so keep that in mind. I know there were a lot of important .NET framework updates, but if you're having a problem with an application that requires that, then you might want to check on refreshing and certainly updating the .NET framework family, which I know caused me grief with a couple clients with those dependencies. And when you have a problem, it's really hard to go through. There's special tools that I've talked about to go in, and you have to rip them out and then reapply them. So the update's definitely worth it. Had a client call me where he is an employee of one of my clients, his home computer. He says, "Mike, I turned on my computer and all my files are gone. I went to my documents, they're gone. How can they just disappear? How can they just go away? That's impossible." And he was frustrated. And I said, "Bring your computer in and I'll pick it up." He left it at his desk one night a few days ago, earlier in the week. I picked it up. I brought it home. And when I booted up, I noticed that it said it was not loading his main profile. It was going to a temp profile, and that was the problem. And the reason I'm bringing this up is there's no way that I believed that all of his files, all of his personal files, could just be deleted like that. And it made sense that there was a problem with his profile. So the My Documents that he was going to and all the places that he was going to for his files were of a different profile. So I created a new profile, moved all the files back to their locations for his profile, for where he's expecting them, his iTunes from his music, his documents to the documents folder. And this is a Windows 7 Service Pack 1, and it took a few hours. I got it all back together, and he is a happy camper. So that was really nice. And he was very, very thankful that all of his files were back. And speaking of a happy client, last week's post show, the chat room and I took on a live repair of one of my clients where I remoted in. They were infected. And one of the workstations, I went in and cleaned it. Now, cleaning it was not the problem. Malwarebytes found everything. It was a whole lot of infections, and I was able to remotely boot into safe mode, run Malwarebytes, it cleaned it. It was the follow-up after. It was the fixing everything that had been broken after everything was cleaned. And that's where I ran into problems. Barb just put in the chat room the link to Lisa, who was in the chat, and she is callthatgirl.biz. And Lisa is a tech. She was in the chat room. Barb, who's a Citizen X, and a whole lot of other people helped me rebuild the icons that were all missing, a utility that I had never used. It seems like I'm the only one in the dark. Everybody knew about it, called Unhide. And that really helped. But more than Unhide, I received an email during this from a listener who was in the chat. He listened to what I was going through and watched and sent me an email and gave me the instructions on how to restore all of the program menus from Windows 7 when you hit the start button, because they were all missing. And he went through the steps, and I was easily able to take it back. I ran later that night. I left, and we finished and wrapped up the show, and I still ran Super Anti Spyware and ran malware bites again, I did find some more infections. And that was the consensus, was that they did not feel that I had totally cleaned that system. And I agreed. And since I was up, kept running these, and it cleaned it up. And I left a notepad message on the screen telling my client, everything's fine, everything's clean, go ahead, you can use your system. The email that I woke up to on Friday morning, it just makes your day when you see an email from your client and in capital letters with exclamation points, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, system is fantastic. He was so happy, and that was great. It just makes your day when you see that, and that's the first email you open when you wake up in the morning. That was great. It's just really nice to help someone and fix their problem and keep them working. That was great. This same client, I'm going to be on site tomorrow. We are migrating them to a faster internet connection. And I have some work to do. I got the Cisco router. It's got to be reprogrammed. Their MX record has to be changed. That's going to be a nightmare because they don't have control over changing their MX record because they have a small business server hosting their email. I have a lot of work to do tomorrow afternoon. And I'm going to, my oldest son is off and he's going to be down there with me. And that should hopefully work out well. I have a client this week that is migrating to Windows 7 64-bit slowly from their XP systems. They have to use AutoCAD, and they have a really nice plotter that's the HP DesignJet 450C. It's an older plotter, but still working perfectly. There's no Vista or Windows 7 drivers. And the problem, since this is a critical point for printing and plotting their AutoCAD drawings, they can't be without it. And he doesn't want to pop for spending for a brand new plotter. And I don't blame him. So some searching of the internet, and I just kept scouring and found that a lot of people had the same issue, and someone modified a driver to get it to work with the HP DesignJet, and I tested that yesterday, and it worked perfectly. Brought the driver with me. We got the new system set up, got AutoCAD loaded, and it printed right to that plotter. There are some reasons. You know me, I always like, hey, upgrade to the printer that you have the drivers for, because your time's worth so much that why go through all the pain and the anguish of trying to search for a driver and make things work. But this is one where we saved a lot of money by my client not buying that, an expensive replacement plotter. So that worked out really good, and I was very happy. And now he can upgrade the rest of his systems with confidence, and he can go forward, because we had a couple things that we had to test. And, people still have some issues out there upgrading, and that's why XP people, you're still hanging on to XP because you still got driver issues and legacy equipment. Now, this week I had, matter of fact, it was, I think it was Monday, it was an all Mac day. I had a client in the morning that was 100% Macs, and he is a graphic designer. And then I have another client in the afternoon that I visited that they're all Macs at their house. They're literally four MacBook Pros, but they have two wireless printers. Now, you know what I think of wireless printers. It's a technology they should uninvent. And they have had difficulties printing to their two wireless printers. And they're identical HP printers. They have one downstairs, one upstairs. Their wireless network, of course, is locked down. And this is the problem. And this is the tip. If you have to have a wireless printer. Now, remember, I have no problem with connecting a wired printer to your network. And you certainly can access it wirelessly. but we're talking the main connection of the printer being wired. Here, there is no wired port. It's either wireless or USB, and there's a lot of printers like that out there. I hate them all. So what I've done, and what you got to remember when you get one of these printers, or if you're advising someone, once they get it, you can't just turn it on and it's not and expect it to work. It cannot connect to your locked down wireless network because it doesn't know the access code. It does not know the password. If you're using WEP or WPA, you have to program that password into somewheres in the settings. And the only way you can do that when you get one of these printers out of the box is you have to connect it via a USB cable. I had to go to my trunk to get a USB cable. I got the USB cable. I went through pretending that this printer was going to be connected to the computer I was working on until 3/4 of the way through the driver installation. There's an option, and especially in HP, where you can then click advanced and you can say you want this to be a networked printer, wireless, and you are then presented with what is the password. It'll find the wireless network. You pick the password. Now, once you see that it gets an IP address, or if you have the capability to give it a static IP address, please give it a static IP. Because if it has a static IP, if you reboot or reboot the router, reboot the access point, reboot the printer, if it ever gets a different IP address, you never have to worry about it. You'll always know what IP address it is if you have to manage it or if you have to access it by setting up a driver on another system. Give it a static IP address and make sure you do this through a connected USB cable. I did that to both the printers. I set one to be upstairs, one to be downstairs, set them both back, took all the 4 MacBook Pros, went in and deleted all the printers from them, added 2 of them very easily. Now, once the printers were correctly set up, picked the upstairs, picked the downstairs, boom, 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 went all through. Handed out the MacBook Pros back to all the kids in the house and and my client, and they are very, very, very happy. Wanted to mention that I have a voicemail that I want to play talking about the Android and the Android phones, and I have some great links and some emails that go along with this, but I want to play this voicemail and respond because I disagree with it. Give a listen.
Hey, Mike. This is Paul from San Antonio calling again. In response to your last show, you were talking about upgrading your iOS to iOS 5 and the issue you had with how long it took iTunes to update and everything. I just wanted to say that another reason why I choose to go with the Android platform, because you don't have the necessity of a software application on your desktop to physically connect to update anything on your device. Everything is over the air. So there is no iTunes to lock the system down or to go through in order to back up or synchronize anything. There's plenty of apps to do that kind of thing. And again, all system updates come in over the air and usually only take a few minutes once they're downloaded. Automatic synchronization with Google apps is also possible, a lot easier with Android. All you need is your Google login when you first get the device, your Gmail address or whatever. Once you put that in, it automatically synchronizes your Gmail accounts, your contacts, Picasa Web, Gtalk, Google Maps, everything like that is accessible right off the bat. And if there's apps that you've paid for in the past, if they come right back down, you do not have to repurchase them like you do on iOS for some apps. Most of your settings as well can be returned if you use a good app like Lookout or something like that to back up some of your settings. You can also auto-sync music with the Amazon Cloud Player app if you have that on there. So you don't need any kind of, again, any kind of tie to iTunes to get your music library synced to it. I also use Dropbox with a app called DropSync to enable automatic synchronization with a directory on my PC. So my files are available there, my office files and things like that, pictures, what have you. And quick and easy upgrade reach synchronization with newer replacement devices. Like I said before, if you lose your phone, have to get a new Android one. And again, you just log in and everything comes right back down by returning apps you've already installed previously. You also mentioned app that you use on iOS for character recognition, scanning business cards. There's an app for Android that's free called Scan Biz Cards Biz Card Reader. There is a paid version as well, but the free does pretty much everything you would need. So it's an alternative to the WorldCard Mobile for iOS that you mentioned. And they do also have an iOS version, so you can look for that. Scan Biz Cards. If you just search for that, you'll find it. It includes the free light version, and that version only supports 2 business card imports. So you can read as many cards as you want. Just can't import more than 2 to your contact. There's also a tablet mode for Honeycomb tablet, so I can use it on my Motorola Zoom, and it works great. That's all I have for now. Until next time, thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Paul, for that voicemail. One of the things with being an iPhone owner and user, and now I've been using iOS 5, you were correct until we got iOS 5. iOS 5, everything's completely wireless and automatic syncing to the iCloud. And that was the whole purpose. So, yes, Android was superior to the iPhone on that functionality until iOS 5 came out and solved an iCloud, and they solved the wireless syncing, so we don't have to be tethered to iTunes anymore. I back up my phone with all my apps. As a matter of fact, I did that before I got my 4S iPhone, and the day I got my 4S iPhone, I just reset said restore from iCloud, and everything just automatically came down. Piece of cake. Now, you mentioned about the syncing and scanning of the business cards. That's a great tip, and I'm going to look into that BizCard app on the iPhone, but you said it's only limited to 2 scans. You got to pay the piper if you want to do more of the features. I think it was $4.99 for the WorldCard mobile app that I have, and they have now upgraded their app to support iCloud. So all of the apps are coming along now and finally supporting iCloud, which is seamless synchronization, but there are requirements. On the Mac side, you have to have OS X Lion. If you want to use PhotoStream, you have to have iPhoto 9.2. Now remember, 9 is part of iLife 11. So you have to have iLife 11. Then after you've done your updates, there's another iPhoto update. Once you have all them in place, iCloud will now be available to you, and then you can sync. On the Windows side, it's just a little client that you download, and then that will automatically sync with Outlook if you have it. I love it, and I'm completely syncing. iPhone finally caught up with the Android in its syncing, but this is what happens. And you're going to have the Android that will overtake iPhone and iPhone overtake Android. And they're just going to keep leapfrogging as soon as they come out with their updates. And that's great. And that competition is fantastic, because we, the end users, will benefit from that and that competition. So we want that and encourage it. And that's what makes this great. Now, you know, I'm not an Android person, and I mentioned that I would like to be able to play with Android apps. And this is from Bob, and he writes in and says, "Hi, Mike, longtime listener, gone for a while and now returning to my favorite Windows show. Regarding getting familiar with Android, here are a few ideas. BlueStacks.com, a free download, allows you to run Android on Windows. Have not tried it, but it is an idea I wanted to pass along. And by the way, I received also from Ron recommending BlueStacks. So I received a couple emails on that. Also, he mentions the Android SDK is free to download. I received several emails on that. And it will let you experiment. Again, I have not tried it. Virgin Mobile has an outstanding no contract plan. It uses Sprint. For $35 a month, you get unlimited data, unlimited texting, and 300 voice minutes a month. They have two excellent Android phones running Froyo 2.2, the LG Optimus V, approximately $100, and the Motorola Triumph for $300. Both are excellent phones. My wife has had the Optimus 5 for about a year. I also have a Mac, PC, iPhone, and a Verizon Thunderbolt 4G Android phone. This is Bob. Great ideas for me to investigate playing with the Android, or if you're in a similar situation where you just want to expand your knowledge base because you're an iPhone user. Like myself, I'm running into clients that have the Android, and I need a way to be able to play with Android apps so I can become familiar and with the functionality. Now, this is a little bit related. It's Melanie, and just listen to your show. Was so impressed that I have voted for you on podcastawards.com and posted this recommendation there too. Stitcher and Android has enabled me to listen to some brilliant podcasts while walking or gardening. Mike Tech's show has my number one vote because he speaks clearly, slowly, and to the point. Now, a question and a suggestion. I wanted to download your podcast and send it to my engineers so they listen to it. I clicked on the link below to your podcast, but all that happens is your website opens again. She's clicking on the title of my post for the podcast. Here's the trick. And it's not really a trick. If you go down to where you can play the podcast with the built-in player on my website, underneath, you'll see the word download. If you right-click that and save it, that is the direct link to the MP3 file of that podcast, and you can download it. So it's very simple. So you just look for that little typed word download underneath the player. Using my much-loved Android HTC phone is truly marvelous, especially after a Nokia N8 that was rubbish. But the best thing ever is the app My Phone Explorer, which uses Wi-Fi to sync seamlessly with my Outlook 2010 contacts, calendar, and tasks. It is an awesome app and free. So keep that in mind, all you Android users out there. The Outlook to sync, a free app called My Phone Explorer. I understand that Android comes with the facility to talk to it just like Siri on the iPhone. Does anyone know what it is called on the phone and tips on using it? Now, a final question here. Kind regards. Are you Irish? You sound Irish when you say Skype. I am half Irish, half Italian. Last week, had a question from a listener that his Explorer would crash when he would right-click. And I cannot believe that I didn't think of this. I actually talked about this very app that's going to come up in this voicemail.
Hi, Mike. It's Kate Ster. KDL's calling from my car in Kelowna, British Columbia. I was listening to your latest podcast, the number of which I do not have right now, because I'm in my car. The good news is I'm pulled over. And I have a possible solution for your guy who is right-clicking in Windows Explorer and experiencing crashes and freeze-ups. And I'm only calling now in a really disorganized fashion, hoping that you can get to him before he decides to redo his system. Assuming that he is spyware-free and I've had this happen to me. What he needs to do is, what's happening probably is that there is a problem with Shell. And Nearsoft makes a utility that will enable him to troubleshoot that and will probably enable him to fix that problem. So just briefly, what's happening is some Shell extension has thrown up on its shoes, and he needs to identify which Shell extension that is and disable them. Now, it can be a tedious process, or you can brute force it. Either way, I'm going to give you the URL to the Nearsoft page where he can find the extension, and on that page is a link to another article explaining how to use it. And I'm sorry, I just don't have time to write it. I'm in my car. So Nearsoft, which is a wonderful page, the utility is called ShellXView, and the URL is after the W's, Nearsoft, which is nirsoft.net/utils, U-T-I-L-S, / S-H-E-X-V-I-E-W dot HTML. I've actually had this happen to me. I'm sure that it was a Vista system that it happened on. But I believe that on that page he has also a 64-bit version of this utility. So I hope that helps. I hope that helps your guy. Thanks for the show, and I will catch up with you later.
That was great. Kate emailed me and said, Mike, I sent you a voicemail. I was listening to your podcast, and I had to pull over and respond right away to answer the question for the listener that was having Explorer crash. I took Kate's voicemail and saved it, compressed it as an MP3, and I sent it to my listener. Now, right after that, the next day, I received this.
Hey, Mike, it's Mark from Southman, Indiana again. I just was screaming at the iPod the other day because I was listening to the show and you were talking about the gentleman that was having problems with when he right-clicks an Explorer, it would crash Explorer. And I was hoping you were going to say the right answer, but you didn't. The most likely cause is a installed program that installed something into the context menu and it's crashing. So what he needs to do is, if he recently installed a program that added something to the context menu, would be to uninstall that program. And there's several tools out there, too, that you can use to fix the context menu for this type of a problem. So he doesn't have to reinstall Windows or anything like that for that. Most likely the cause is just, you know, a program that is actually crashing the context menu and crashing Explorer. So needs to look into that, and something I've had happen in the past. So great show, Mike, and keep up the good work.
This is what happens. Sometimes it's so obvious and it's in front of you. And I thank everybody that responded, because that's what we want. We know that this is the problem, and you use the Nearsoft utility that Kate referenced, and that is easy to uncheck the shell extensions that are embedded and try them one by one until we get the one that is the culprit. That was excellent. Thank you, everybody, for responding to that, where everybody learns something here. Here we got just so many more comments, some questions, so let's keep rolling.
Hi, Mike. Kevin with the Computer Doctor of Richmond. Just listening to your latest Mike Tech show, and I appreciate you reading my email on the air about documentation and so forth. That was very helpful. Thank you. The main reason I was calling is you had one other user email in about an issue with Explorer crashing when they would right-click and get the shortcut menu. They should update their graphics driver. I had a similar problem with a customer a couple years ago with Explorer crashing. And it turned out to be a graphics driver that needed to be updated. Also, another person mentioned about Skype and updating that frequently due to security updates. And part of the problem there is many people oftentimes find that newer versions of Skype are unstable and have buggy issues when it's first updated. They kind of seem to leapfrog a good version of Skype and a bad version and a good version. It's kind of like Microsoft with their updates and operating systems. And one other final note, you were talking about wanting an inexpensive Android tablet, and I think maybe a perfect solution for you might be the new Amazon Android tablet that's getting come out, the new Amazon Kindle that's running Android. It's inexpensive, and of course, you are a huge proponent of Amazon, so that may be a good solution for you to get into the Android world. Thanks, as always, and have yourself a nice day.
Thank you. And for all the recommendations for entering into the Android world, I really appreciate that because now I got some things that I can really play with and start sinking my teeth into. Kevin, thank you for the comments. And he is correct. There have often been times where redoing the graphics driver has corrected problems, especially within Internet Explorer, where Internet Explorer was slow and it was slow to respond and there was problems. I've updated the graphics driver and it has corrected that. So it doesn't hurt to do that. So good advice. Here is a comment on the question for the listener that had static IP addresses. And my advice was to go DHCP. This is a good compromise. And I sort of mentioned this in my solution. At least I think I did.
Yeah, Mike, this is Brad in Southern California. I think I was listening to 378, the guy that had static IP addresses in his office. I work with the USDA, and we have all static IP addresses in all our offices in several countries, and including the United States. And there's advantages, disadvantages to putting static IP addresses on desktops and stuff, pros and cons, you know, and I know your views. But what we do is all the stationary equipment has static IP addresses, but we have DHCP with a 20 IP range to hand out IP addresses to all mobile devices, which includes, you know, iPhones, iPods, iPads, you know, laptops, tablets, all those kind of things that we use. So maybe the gentleman who was looking for the mobile device solution could do that. Just static IP is permanent devices, including desktops, if he wishes to, and then have a short IP DHCP range for all mobile devices. Anyways, thanks. Have a good day.
Brad, great suggestion. And absolutely, mobile devices in the workplace, oh boy, you do not want to assign static IP addresses. I always believe in appliances, network appliances, network printers, devices that will only stay in one spot that needs to be remotely managed via a browser, and also any server. So those devices have to have a static IP address. But do you really need a static IP address for your workstations? Unless you have a compelling reason, a compelling business reason, to where things have to navigate only via IP address. And the only time I've found is legacy applications that have to talk back to a PC that they don't support names, they don't support DNS, or they only can do it via IP addresses. And yes, I've seen these kind of applications, then you have to have static IPs. Brad, thank you very much for that. This is the last voicemail.
Hello, Mike. I was just on your website trying to download some of your previous podcasts, and there's a lot that can't be found. I'm wondering if there's any way that I can get them, or if it's a dead link or lost or whatever. If you could let me know if I can get them or whatever, I'd muchly appreciate it. Thank you.
The best way is to go to MTS Wiki, WIKI. So it's MTSWIKI.com, and you can get access to all the past shows. Now, if you see a link and the link has miketechshow.com in it, replace that with mikenation.net and you should be able to download the file. Now, there's a lot of corrections that have to be made going through. And the reason why I haven't done it is I might be able to flip. And if I do, then those links will work. If I can get back to where the primary domain is miketechshow.com and mikenation.net is just forwarded, I have to do that flip and I have to talk to GoDaddy about that. And if I do that, that will correct a lot of legacy links and make searching easy. It's just one of those things. It's on my plate and I will try to get to it. I still have a stack of email and we're just going to have to save that for next week because we are out of time. And you know, I like to keep the show fast paced and moving in under an hour. With that, I want to thank everybody for downloading and supporting the show. Please, if you know anybody that purchases from Amazon, or if you do, or neighbor, friend, family, anybody, send them to Amazon.mikenation.net. And then that gets you to Amazon, but it's using a referral link for me that I will get a commission. Your price stays the same. And you can also go to miketechshow.com/Amazon. And that will also take you to the same place. And of course, on my main website, there's a big link on the left-hand side. I really appreciate all of your support. It really helps. It truly does. Thank you so much. And I will talk to you same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.